Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Praise the Lord. Good to have each one of you here. Praise the Lord. Cheryl's got a couple of testimonies.
I got one testimony.
And then she's got an announcement.
Yes. Basically, I'm going to do the announcement first. Y'all all know our associate pastor, Jeff Coulter, right? Is he here? Okay. He's back there. Okay, Jeff, wave your hands. Or stand up, Jeff. Jeff's fixing to be a grandfather. He's gonna have a baby girl granddaughter, and she's due the end of July. Well, there's going to be a baby shower for Megan Coulter, and it's going to be Saturday, June the 3rd at 10 o'clock, 10 till 12. And all of y'all are invited. The only thing I need to find out is who's going to come, because they need an RSVP. So if you'll hold your hand up, if you'd like one of these flyers, like if you want to give a gift or whatever, you know, just hold your hand up and Skylar will give you a flyer. And then if you're going to attend, would you either call the ministry or tell me today or something so I can give them a head count as to who, because they're having it at Megan's mother's house. It's in Fort Worth at the edge of Keller is where it's located. But anyway, that will tell you everything. And she's signed up at Amazon and at Target, but all the Amazon has been purchased. You can give her an Amazon card, or you can go, there's still a list at Target of things that she really, really wants. So anyway, but it's a baby girl. I don't think they have a name yet. Last time I talked to Ben, he said he didn't have a name. So he said he wanted to see her first. I said, okay. But anyway, it's a pretty exciting time for them. That's what he said. He wanted to see her first, to see what her she looked like, I guess. So that particular name. But anyway, Megan's giving him a list, and he gets to choose out of that list. Okay. All right. This is a kind of an unusual praise report. Okay, and actually, there's three parts to it. He wrote first, he said, prayer request. Hello, Thurman. A couple of years ago, I mailed you a picture of one of my cousins lying in a hospital bed, dying. I think I wrote on the picture that she was going to die if you didn't do something. I love that. Well,
if Jesus doesn't show up.
Please, God, show up. Well, after about 2 weeks from the time I mailed you that picture, she came out of the hospital and went home, which is praise the Lord. Everybody clap. That's a good part. Okay, that's the good part. All right, but now listen to this. I tried to explain to her about sins and repentance, but she was taught wrong in church and believed that Jesus had already forgiven her of all of her sins, past, present, and future when he died on the cross. So, anyway, she lived another year and died. No. Okay. Now, he's got it, and he's trying to give it to people, but he's not getting there in time. Okay. Now, I have another cousin in Rockdale Hospital in Georgia who they say will die any day. His livers and kidneys are shut down, and they took him off life support. He's in a coma. I'm asking you to pray for him. We did. I would really like the chance to talk to him and try to explain to him what the Bible says about sin and sickness. The difference in this cousin and the other is that Danny never was taken to church. He never got the chance to know God or to be taught a lot of lies in church. He might receive the word with joy and be saved and live a long, healthy life. He's only 49 or 50. And he says, thank you. Well, then he wrote his back, and Danny died within 6 hours of the time that we sent that we had prayed. Okay, so we're praying that somehow he had a death experience, someone got to him, and now he's got an uncle who is not saved, who's in the hospital and is about to die also, and he wanted prayer for him and for him to be able to go talk to him too. So what does this all tell us? We need to be talking to people. We need to be saying, hey, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Hey, do you know Jesus?
Amen.
Anyway, I just thought that was just so interesting because, he's trying. He's trying, but he's just getting there just a hair too late, you know?
Well, let me tell you something that kind of to add to what Cheryl said there, you don't want to wait till they're in hospice to talk to them about Jesus. You just don't want to do that. You know, you want to talk to them about Jesus while they can hear, while they can listen. You need to live a life. In other words, if you didn't see a miracle this week of some kind, little or big, you wasn't doing nothing for Jesus. If you didn't see an answer to prayer, you weren't praying. Because God answers prayer. And all of his promises are no. I never say yes to a prayer.
Amen.
Oh, is that what it is, Kim?
Yes,
all of his promises are yes and amen. That's true, isn't it, Mike?
Amen.
Now then, let's stop and think about this a second. We're going to talk about 2 Peter today is where we're going to go. 2 Peter chapter 1, about these wonderful, awesome promises that God gives us. Just think, if God made us all these awesome promises and you didn't see an answer to prayer this week, then you were not praying. Is that right, Betty? Because if you were praying, you know, God answers your prayer. And he doesn't answer the prayer later, someday, maybe, no. He answers your prayer. In other words, while I'm talking about prayer like that, I think about, since Miss Betty's sitting right there with her husband, I still remember very well the day that she came to me and told me a wonderful praise report. She works with some kind of accounting or something or whatever, and she was doing a spreadsheet, and she was trying to get this spreadsheet to work, and she couldn't remember the formulas and how they went and what sales. Now, if you're not a computer geek, you probably don't even know what I'm talking about, but I know just enough about them to know what she's talking about because I used to do a little bit of computer work. But anyway, she decided that I can't handle this, so she gets ready to go to bed. She says, now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I got to have some help. I got to have you show me where these cells, these formulas, what formulas goes in what cell so I can make this spreadsheet work because I need this thing to work in Jesus' name. And she goes to bed. She has a dream. And in the dream, she saw every cell. She saw everything she needed to do. When she gets up the next morning or in the middle of the night, whatever it was, she goes to her computer and she enters all of those cells and all of those formulas in the cells that the Lord showed her in the dream. Something like, isn't that true, Miss Betty? That's right, she says. And then whenever she clicked on it and put it together, but the way I understand it, that spreadsheet, y'all are still using it today. Is that right?
That's right.
That's right. She's still using that sheet, and it works perfect, right?
Yeah.
Now then, I had a young man that came here one time, and he was a fine young engineer, and he was good on computers. And he was telling me one day, he said, you know, I just stand in awe that when I make a mistake on entering data, how long it takes me to find it sometimes. I said, oh, sometimes it takes you a long time. He said, sometimes it takes me 2 or 3 or 4 days to find the glitch. I said, you ain't praying. He said, do what? I said, you ain't praying. He said, Thurman, you don't think that God would answer a prayer about showing me how to fix a glitch in a computer program? I said, there ain't a computer better programmer in the world than God. Is there, Miss Betty?
No.
So he said, I had never thought. Now, here's a young man that goes to church all the time. I mean, he's in church all the time, but he never dreamed about praying about his job and needing wisdom. I mean, did God say in James 1, any man lack wisdom? Who does any man include? Franz, does that include you and me? Yeah, it includes you and me, I guarantee. We need it. We all need it. That's why he said any man, because he knew he made us, so he knows we're just a common old guy and we all need help.
That's true.
And if we can go to him and get help, we need to do that. But anyway, a week or two or three later, wasn't too long, he said, you know, just a few weeks after you and I talked, and we talked about asking God for help on a computer program, he said, I entered something wrong somewhere in the program and it wouldn't work. I said, uh-oh, I'm going to put this to the test. He said, I've never prayed over my computer software before, never. But I've got a problem, this thing won't work. So he said, Father, in Jesus' name, I need you to show me where the glitch is, where the problem is, so I can fix it and put the right thing in there so it'll work in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, it's done. Next Sunday when he come to church, he said, and he told me the story, he said, you know how long it took me to find the problem? I said, I have no idea. He said, less than 5 minutes. Less than 5 minutes, I found the problem. Now then, why does it take any of us a long time to get something done? Lack of knowledge of the Word of God. I mean, but you know, after all, you read some of these wonderful promises, and if you don't know these promises, in other words, I think about Cliff over here and how Cliff, he just getting where he just prays for all kinds of people now that he used to never pray for. But he's been coming out here for a year or two or something. I don't know how long you've been coming. But when you start hearing these promises, you realize this ain't Thurman Scrivener talking. This is the Word of God talking to you, right? You know, Thurman, he needs that wisdom just like you do. But he's got a source for it, the Word of God. So I want to show you, I want us to go. Oh, I get started talking about the Word of God and I forget everything else. Cheryl just reminded me. Jack Butler's mother passed away this morning. And Miss Mary, 92 years old. Oh, 98 years old. 98. That woman, I will have to say, when she was a good Baptist. Really a good Baptist. She loved the Baptist and she loved her Baptist God. Until Jack brought her out here one time, her son, and he began to tell her some stuff, and he began to let her listen to some of our stuff, and she said, I've got to go hear this guy. So she came out, and she listened to me, and she says, Thurman, where did you learn all this? I said, ma'am, I learned it reading God's Word. She said, I've been in the Baptist church all my life, and I didn't know all this was in the book. I didn't know that. I didn't know I could do these things. I didn't know I could ask for these things. I did not know that I could ask God for anything and he would help me do it. But is that what the Word says? If God says ask him for anything, he'll help us, won't he, Mary? He'll solve our problem. Just like Dave said there a while ago when he was sharing that problem with about his son. You know, I know that when I think about that, I think about how Dave presented that with that little child of his. I told Dave one time, and maybe in the church service, but I said, you know, I can remember whenever I was growing up, I had a real bad problem. Not real bad, but it was too bad. In the shop, I worked in an automotive shop growing up, and there was about four of us men worked in there, and I was the youngest one. Some of the older ones used a little profanity. So, you know, that evil will kind of get a hold of you, you know what I mean? So you'll use a little word of profanity. One thing, you know, since you're the younger of the bunch, you're trying to be one of the boys. So you use a little profanity. Well, I knew that. Every time I'd do that, something right in here would stab me. Now, guess who that was? Yes, the Holy Spirit. See, I had the Holy Spirit, and these other boys didn't have the Holy Spirit. So when I had the Holy Spirit, he's telling me, no, son, that doesn't glorify me. No, huh? So I said at the next year when the New Year resolution came along, I said, Lord, I'm going to stop this. I'm going to make a New Year's resolution this next year. I am not going to use any profanity. Thank you, Lord. And I went the whole year, and I messed up several times during the course of the year. So I finally come to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I realize now I made a big mistake. I had learned what Dave has learned. I can't do this. I got to have help. So I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, to take away my profanity. I don't want none of it. I want to throw that stuff out the window. Is that what we want to do with it, Tony?
Yes.
Throw that dirty stuff away, those foul words. I don't want none of those, but I realize that I'm not big enough to make it happen. I'm asking you, I repent for doing it, and I ask you to fix it. And guess what he did? He fixed it, just like he did Dave's son. He fixed it. I didn't have to even sweat. The next year, I thought, wow, I went through the whole year. It wasn't even difficult at all. Not one single word of profanity didn't come out. I was riding down the road one day with a guy from the Baptist church, and we were getting ready to turn off over there at the new turnpike. And I thought, you know, this, I'm not sure which exit's the one that goes there. So I'm driving probably 60. And then all of a sudden I get close enough, I see this one little bitty sign and it says that. And I said, oh my goodness. So I done a quick look to the right to see who was there, but I'm already turning. You ever done that? And I realized when I looked over there and I'm already turning, I'm fixing to hit this guy. Of course, now, you know, all of a sudden he's on his horn screaming, you idiot, you know. Where'd you come from? Where'd you get your driver's license at? You know how they do, you know, right? You know, they're okay in that because I know how people are. I mean, we all get mad at people when they do dumb things, and I've done a dumb thing. So anyway, I had to cut back real quick. I mean, boy, when I whipped that car back, I just looked like I just missed him a few inches. But I didn't hit him, praise God. But as we're doing through all this thing, this deacon from the Baptist church was sitting on the right side, and I won't tell you the word that came out of his mouth, but it didn't glorify God. We all know what I mean, right? Now then, once I slowed down and the guy went on by, and then I pulled in behind him, and I'm now on the right road, and we get all stabilized and get over the top of the hill down on the other side. I told him, I said, you know, I used to have that problem. But I said, you know, what if we had to hit that guy? I said, can you imagine what happened if we'd have hit that guy and we'd have went over the edge and it'd have killed both of us? And the last words out of your mouth was you were blaspheming Jesus. You were using his name in vain. Can you imagine getting to heaven? Somebody said, oh, I see you're new. You just hit here. Yeah. What happened? I was killed in a car wreck. Oh, wow. What happened? And then you're going to have to tell them the truth of what you did. He said, you know, I never even thought about that, Thurman. I said, well, you know, we need to think about that. Can you imagine that's the last words in your mouth as you die and go home to be with Jesus? You just said a foul word. Wouldn't that be awful? That'd be more than awful. I just stand in awe. So that we need to watch what we're doing. But anyway, as Mary, Jack's mother, as she began to learn and listen to me teach the principles of the kingdom, wow, she started getting my CDs and DVDs, and this woman, she just loved them. I mean, she just loved them. So I have no idea when any of the funeral, the
Memorial Saturday, and probably in Commerce, am I guessing right?
Probably in Commerce.
But I have no idea. Not said yet, but we don't know anything. Yeah, we don't know anything, but somewhere along the line, some of you may not even know Jack, or for sure you may not know his mother, because she very rarely, in the last 6 or 7 or 8 years, she very rarely ever comes, because like I say, she's 98 years old. And so she was in a nursing home just recently. Less than 2 weeks? Wow, so she's lived by herself all this time. Yeah, I thought she did. But anyway, she's a lovely lady. She loves Jesus. And she, as she began to hear the promises of God, it really changed her life forever. You know, now then, if you don't have the word in you, whenever something happens, and you know, I don't care who you are in this room, there's probably every one of us have had some kind of devastating thing happen to either us or somebody, in a loved one or something in our family, right? And so many of us don't know that we have this God that we serve to call on. We don't even know it. So we never call on Him. Just think. Can you imagine having God to call on and don't even think about it? I mean, don't even think about it. And all kinds of people get killed. All kinds of stuff happens to us every day. And the promises that are in this book, not just one place, but today we're going to talk about some of these promises in 2 Peter chapter 1. Okay. Oh, okay. The baby shower is for women only. So I don't understand all that, you know. But, you know, everybody makes their own rules. You know, if that's why they want to do it, that's okay. You know, so of course, you know, I mean, they're going to have a little baby girl. That's not one of my things anyway, you know. I'm not normally go to a shower. You know, I don't do that, but, you know. Anyway, so we just tell you what they said. Ben said, told Cheryl to be sure and tell everybody that his wife says she wants just ladies only. So, okay, so now we got it all covered? Okay, so everything's covered. Okay, now then I want us to go to 2 Peter chapter 1.
Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have attained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ.
Okay, let's stop and just think about it. Let's meditate on this just a second. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Now, when I think about attaching myself to men, if I wanted to learn how to work on a car, I would attach myself to this man right there. I mean, that man knows cars. He can fix anything. If I'm going to attach myself to somebody to do something, I want them to be the best that I've ever seen at what I'm going to be attached to, right? I don't want to attach myself to somebody that can't do nothing. You know, if I hear somebody, every time I say, well, you know, let's go do this, let's build this, let's go build a fence. Somebody says, it's just like the, down at Skyship. Well, when I was down there, I designed a software package to keep up with the trucks and the building equipment and all that stuff. So I used to know a little bit about computers. I went to some pretty good little schools. I never knew near as much as Dave did. But anyway, when I got this program built, I knew that most of these men, that both in the truck shop and the house maintenance, the guys that worked for me, they didn't know how to use a computer, most of them. Especially this one guy at the truck shop, his name was Joe. He never turned a computer on in his life. He didn't know nothing about them. This is about 20 years ago. So anyway, when I designed these forms, I made the form in the computer look just exactly like the sheet of paper that they had. So if you've been used to doing something on a sheet of paper, and you go to a computer screen and look at it, turn a computer on, and says whatever, and you click on that button and it takes you to a sheet that looks just exactly like what you've been doing all the time. It makes it easier to see, easier to understand. So I knew how simple I needed to make this for these guys. So anyway, after I got the program running and working pretty good, I went down there one day and I told Joe, I said, Joe, you ever used a computer? No, sir, don't know nothing about them. Never turned one on. And I said, well, come over here. I'm going to show you how to run this program. Mr. Scrivener, there ain't no way I can do that. I've never turned a computer on. I can't do this. I know I can't do it. I've never run a computer. I go over and tap him on the shoulder, and I said, Joe, come over here. What do you want to do? I said, come over here. I said, I want you to turn that. See that button right there? I said, that says on and off. He said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Turn it on." So he flipped the switch, it came on, and the computer came up, and there was the main menu. I said, "Now, what would you like to know about a given truck?" "Well, I mean, there's the form right there. It said we do this when we do a repair on one." He said, "That looks just like, I mean, that button right there." I said, "Click on it." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Click on it." He said, "How do I do that?" I said, "Take this mouse and roll it over there." He said, "A mouse?" He didn't know nothing. So anyway, I had him go over there, and he run that mouse up there, and he clicked on that button, and the screen opened up to the sheets. It looked just exactly what he's always been doing. I said, "Now then, can you fill that out?" He said, "Sure." So we started, and in a few minutes, he said, "This is a piece of cake." So I spent about 2 hours with him. One of the other guys that was just like him come in, Bob. I said, "Bob, come over here. I want to show you how to use a computer." "Mr. Scrivener, I've never turned a computer on in my life. I don't know nothing about it." I said, "Do you know your buddy Joe here?" They were best friends. He said, "Yes, I see." I said, "I'm going to let him show you how." He said, "Ah ha." He said, "Joe, he's dumber on a computer than I am." I said, "Come over here, Joe. Come over here." He said, "Bob, come here. Let me show you how simple this is." So he started him out, and in just a few minutes, both those guys were entering forms and work orders and doing all kinds of stuff. And it wasn't just a week or two since I'd made it so simple. And you know, if you're going to try to train people that don't know how to do anything, find somebody that really understands the situation and then make it as simple as you can, not difficult.
Right.
And then, of course, tell them it's going to be simple. And by doing that, knowing how it worked, it was in no time. Them boys, he said, "My lands, why did you build this thing a long time ago?" I said, "This is a whole lot better than having to do all that paperwork." You know, but see, they didn't know. They couldn't do this because they had no knowledge of how to do it. It's just amazing when you gain knowledge of something. And this is one of the things we need to get, just like this scripture says, to them that have obtained like precious faith. If you have no faith, you have no knowledge of the promises of God. Because if you have faith, and you have faith in your God. Now, some people will try to say that, "Well, I have faith in you." But if you have faith in me and my God, then we can get something done.
Amen.
But if you just got faith in me, we're in trouble. But anyway, when you begin to understand that you got to have knowledge of these things, once you find somebody that has a little bit of knowledge about the Word of God, and they can sit down with you and talk to you about this Word. When people sit down with you, I think of it, no telling how many people in the course of a week or a month that Scott will sit down and talk to. I mean, men that he goes to work on their house, goes to put a hot water heater in or whatever he's going to do, fix a yard or a gate or a fence or anything. He's wanting to know, "Do you know Jesus? Do you have any idea who this Jesus is and his promises?" And some of the people he talks to is in the church. They have no idea of the promises. Why do we not have any knowledge of the Word of God? We don't study. We don't go to a church where it's taught. But if you don't learn it, you can never do it. Just like I can go back to the day at Mike a few years ago, I don't know how many years ago, but there's a day in history when somebody come in to tell him, I need to teach you how to work on a car. Somewhere back there, I'd have no idea what you're talking about. I cannot work on a car. "Well, come over here, son, let me show you how this works." And so they started teaching him how it worked. And when they started teaching him how it works, he got interested in it, started really studying and everything. And now then, I mean, that boy's one of the best mechanics I've ever seen. He can fix anything on any car. I don't care what it is, he can fix it for you. All you got to do is just get your car to him. Or if you can't get it to him, he'll go get it. But that's what I'm saying. If you want to be good at something, surround yourself with men that know what you want. If I wanted to learn about air conditioning, I'd take this man with me. This man is, how many years have you been working on air conditioning? Around 40 or 50?
1947.
Wow.
1947 till now, he's been working on air conditioner.
59 years,
I know how good he is. I took him to a place one time with me with a lady that was trying to sell her house, and then both air conditioners wasn't working, and it took him all of about 10 minutes to find a problem with both of them. And then we went downtown to Fort Worth or North Dallas, we picked up some parts, come back out there, and took him just about 10 minutes to put all that back on, check them out, and they're still working perfect to this day. The people that he had called before, I called somebody to come out to check it. And a person come out and looked at it, and they said, well, it'll probably cost about $10,000 to fix both of them. Franz fixed both of them for $17. Why do I want a man like this with me when I go to work on an air conditioner? Because he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. The other day, I had another one, just to give you an example. There's another lady. She used to come to my church over in Dallas, but since we moved out here, she doesn't come anymore, but I'm still kind of associated with her. And she had the same problem. She had a problem with her air conditioner the other day, so she called some air conditioning people, and they came out and they checked it for her and said, well, one of the units has been replaced. The other one needs to be replaced, so we probably can get both of them going. The number was about $10,000. So anyway, whenever she called Sharon and talked to Sharon, her friend, and said, Sharon, it's going to cost me $10,000 to get my air conditioner fixed, she said, my God, call Thurman first. Yeah. Don't let nobody spend $10,000 on your air conditioner without calling Thurman first. So he did, and I have another young man that works with us in the ministry. He's really good on air conditioner, so I asked him if he'd go by and check it. He said, sure. So he goes by there and checks it for me. He called back that afternoon and said, well, I got good news. I had this little issue here, and the thermostat wire broke on this one and this little deal here. And I said, so he said, now I will have to say that one of the fan motors was shorted out, so we're going to have to put a couple of $100 fan on one of the units. But he said, the whole thing looks like about $400 is going to fix them, both of them, and make them work perfect. So for about $400, he fixed both her air conditioners. Now this woman, the other day when she called me, said, Thurman, he got it fixed, and it only cost me $400. I said, now girl, don't let me have to tell you twice. You better give that boy a good tip. If you were going to spend $10,000 and you sent him, Jesus fixed it for you for $400, you better give that Christian man a good tip.
Amen.
And so I understand she did. So you see, God, why do I go to men that know what they're talking about? Because I want to be able to do things, and I don't know. Some of you in this room, I wouldn't dare call you to work on an air conditioner because I don't know. I mean, Bill, I think he works his own, so I definitely wouldn't call him to work on an air conditioner. Y'all see what I mean? Now, if I was interested in oil and gas leases, I'd call you, Bill. But I would, y'all understand? I want somebody to know something, so... Just like this scripture says here, when we look at the scripture, it clearly says there, the servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith through us, you need to find somebody that has faith. If you want to learn how to walk in faith, you need somebody that, in fact, here's what I used to do. When I first started walking by faith, when I'd go to a new preacher somewhere, and wherever it was, if I was asked to speak out of town, my first question to him was, have you seen any miracles this week? And they laugh. Well, of course not. I said, well, then I don't need to talk to you. You know, I want to talk to somebody that's seen some miracles. In fact, you remember the book... that the guy from California wrote that the Baptists were so big on for a while. It was called...
Purpose-Driven Life.
Oh, yeah, The Purpose-Led Life or something like that.
Rick Warren,
yeah. So anyway, I was in a class in a Baptist church. I wasn't teaching there. I went to this class because I was invited, and there was probably about 20 people in that class that night, and I was just sitting there, and they said... Now then, we would like to see what kind of experiences you've had with Jesus in the last month. And they said, by the way, Thurman, would you start? I said, be happy to. So I began to tell them some of the experiences I had with Jesus. I cast a demon out of somebody here, and I prayed for somebody got healed over here, and I prayed for a kid here, and his warts went away, and I prayed for this, and his scars went away. And after a few minutes, they said, Thurman, you can tell us something that's real. I said, this is real. These things really happened. Thurman, are you telling us you experienced for real with Jesus these things this week? I said, yes. You know what they did? They dismissed the class. We just dismissed the class. In fact, when I went to Big Sandy with Bill Gothard in 2004, and I made the teaching, God's Power. How many of you have ever heard the teaching, God's Power? Did you like it?
Absolutely.
After that teaching, they throwed me out of the conference. They said, we can't believe that you would do such a thing as to make a teaching like this and expect our people to listen to it. So when I got thrown out, Ty Davenport, he was one of my good friends, still is. When I told him I got thrown out, he said, what teaching did you do? Got you thrown out? I said, God's Power. He said, good grief, I got to have a copy of it. I said, okay. So the next Sunday when he come back to church, he said, Thurman, this got you thrown out? I said, yes. He said, this is one of the most anointed teachings I've ever heard you do. He said, I love it. Now then, who do you want to be around if you want to be the man or the woman that has life, precious faith? You want to be around the man that's or the woman that's not seeing any miracles? Or you want to be around the one that's seeing them on a regular basis? Because that's where we want to walk. That's the God that we serve. Is that right, Michael?
Amen.
That's the God we serve. We want to serve that God. Now, let's look here a little further. Let's go a little further in this and let's see. Okay.
Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord.
Okay, just think now. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You need to know something about Jesus. You know, now, I don't know how many of you were here Sunday before last. I think it was Sunday before last. But we had a little 9-year-old boy, the Solomons. I don't think they're here today. I don't see them. But they were here a couple weeks ago. They have a 9-year-old son. And that 9-year-old son, his mother actually asked me if he could quote Psalm 104. I said, ma'am, that's 35 verses. She said, yes, but he knows it by heart. And I said, okay, so I give him a time, and he came down, and he quoted Psalm 104, and he never missed a word. I mean, he went through that thing just 90 miles an hour, and I said, you know, that really speaks to me. Here I am. I'm trying to learn Psalm 91, which is only 16 verses, and this 9-year-old has quoted 35 verses in Psalm 104. I said, man, that's something. She said, oh, he knows that too. I said, he does? I said, you want to speak it or quote it? He said, sure. So he comes out right back there, comes up here, and I hand him the mic, and he quotes Psalm 91. He quoted Psalm 104. Now then, if I wanted to gain some knowledge about how to memorize, I believe I'd want to hang out with that kid.
That's right.
You know, if I ask you how many verses you got memorized, and you say, well, Thurman, I don't have any verses, then I don't want to hang out with you. I want to hang out with people that know the word, don't you? Because I want to see God do miracles, don't you, Tony? I like to see him do miracles. I love seeing God do things. Let's go a little further here. He says here,
according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness.
Hold it. That's just, you can't go past that. according as his divine power has given unto us. What do we not understand about this book? All things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. When you meditate on that verse, verse 3, what does it appear that the Master has given us? What has he given you?
Everything?
I mean, all things? According as his divine power. Can you think of a power that's greater than his divine power? Has given unto us. That just blows me away when I meditate on it. Has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. If I ask for anything and everything, what kind of limitations do I have in prayer? Only one. If I don't pray it, he can't answer it. Is that right, Miss Jackie? If I pray it or you and me pray it, then he can answer it, right? So we're only limited as sons and daughters of God. We're only limited on this earth by our faith, to ask him the things we want or desire. Now, if you don't feel like that you're good enough or worthy, and that's what happens to so many people, especially women. I don't know what it is about women. I want to just punch some of them out. I want to say, get over it, girl, get over it. But I can't do that. But you want to. Because you think, here the Word of God has given me all power and all authority for everything I need that pertains to life and godliness. Just like a while ago when Dave was talking about his son, and just like me when I told you that little story about me and my foul mouth, I couldn't solve that problem, but I knew the one that could. And he solved it. You know, I've never, ever, since I asked of Jesus, that day years ago down in that little Chevrolet garage that I worked in for 5 or 6 years, after I asked for him to take away that foul mouth of mine, I never had a problem with that no more. I've never had a problem with foul mouth. It's just not there. I don't go around cussing all the time. You know, do I have to? No, not unless I want to. If I want to, can I? Sure, I can. It might not be too good for me, and especially wouldn't be very good for my whatever. Yeah, it wouldn't be very good. But when he says that he's given me all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him, through the knowledge. So if I don't read the Bible, how much knowledge am I going to get? No, I've got to spend time with God. And the best thing to do, in fact, I was just thinking this last few days. The other day, I don't even know how many times I let a couple of days get by last week, and we did not read Psalm 91 in the ministry. I didn't read it. So I happen to think I have not read that. I need to read that every day. We need to read it every day. In fact, Cheryl, honey, would you get one of those Psalm 91 cards there? I want you to read that right now in just a second. But I want us to think about Psalm 91. When we think about this psalm and you think about what this says, this is some of these great and precious promises that through the knowledge of God, if we can lock on to this and we know this, then we technically should be protected from all things all the time. Now then, Cheryl's going to read Psalm 91 right now, one more
God's
time.
God's prayer of protection.
Yeah.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him. For he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Now then, as Christians that know Psalm 91, what worries should we have?
None.
We should worry about nothing. You know, here a while back, as Jeff and I was talking about some scripture and stuff one day, and we just had a really powerful set of storms that come through, and the wind was blowing like crazy, and the lightning was just flashing a lot. I mean, just, boy, just really getting with it. Jeff said a few years ago, Thurman, I would have went inside, you know, got covered up or whatever, protected somehow. Said I just pulled my chair up and sat back out there on my front porch and watched my father at work. So what made the difference? He knows who his father is. He knows who the Word is. He knows the Word, and he knows that his God is protecting him, and we're not considered the wicked. If we're walking in obedience to his Word, we're not the wicked. You know, we are the sons of God, the daughters of God, and he is going to protect us. He says that nothing, the arrow that flies by day can't hurt you. You shall see 1,000 fall at your hand, your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. With a promise like that, why should we worry about anything? We shouldn't worry about nothing. According to his divine power, he has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. All things. Next verse 4.
Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
No, go back to that verse one more time. Back up to 4.
Okay, back up.
Back up to 4.
Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises.
Okay, now let's just stop right there just a minute. And I want 4 or 5 different people, I want you to hold up your hand and say, I want to quote one of these powerful promises that God says, because of these great and precious promises, we can become partakers of the divine nature of God. What are some of those promises? Do you know any of them? Name one.
John 14:13-14. And whatsoever I ask in your name, that you would do, that the Father may be glorified through the Son. If I ask anything in your name, you will do it.
Wow. You sound like that girl's used that before a time or two, huh?
I have.
If you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall have anything you ask for.
Amen.
Wow. You really believe that, don't you, Bill?
I have authority over scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing by any means can hurt or harm me.
Wow. Do you know where that's found?
That's Luke 10:17.
Luke 10:19. Who else? Somebody else over here.
He quoted the scripture. I don't quote.
Oh, okay. So that's it? Amen.
Said that.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Is that yes? Okay, son.
Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. He restores
my soul. Amen. Praise the Lord.
I kind of forgot.
Okay, that's pretty good. That's good. Amen. We got a good one there. Well, that kind of rings in my ear when we go by there. Anyway. Do you see that these great and awesome, precious promises, they belong to us?
Amen.
And we can all use the same verse as far as that goes, you know.
That's right.
Just like I think about this all often when Kim, when she said when they came out of the Catholic Church and came begin to get into the real Word of God, she said, I've run across this verse in Matthew 18:19 that says, in fact, you quoted it for me, Kim.
Again,
yeah.
I tell you, two or more are gathered on this earth, and Jesus, I will be with you.
Amen.
And ask for anything.
Just two of you.
Just two.
So when you and your husband are together, y'all got it covered.
That's right.
All y'all need to do is agree upon something and believe it with no doubt in your heart, and it happens.
It happens.
At first, when she first read that, you know, I got tickled at Kim because she said, when I first read that verse, I thought, gee, wouldn't it be nice if something that powerful really did work?
That's right.
Guess what?
It really works.
It really does work. But you don't learn that gathering around people that don't believe.
They don't believe.
Yeah, just like Dave said a while ago, when Dave was talking about one of his prayer calls this week, it took him I don't know how long to convince the people who they are in Christ. You know, when you say, you know, you know you're a Christian, you're in Christ, and Jesus lives inside of you, and all the promises of God are in you, and the promises are all yes and amen every time. People, yeah, but Dave, you don't understand what I do. You don't understand what I did. You don't know. I'm sure you've heard those kind of things from some of them, haven't you, Scott? People don't know who they are. They have no idea that you're a son or a daughter of God. I mean, they just don't get it. But we are. We're sons and daughters of God. So let's look at this again.
Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Okay, just think about that. I've dealt with several people lately, men that have had prostate cancer. The average man has no knowledge of what causes prostate cancer. But let me tell you what it is. If you don't know, prostate cancer is caused by you looking at women in the wrong place. Now, isn't that something? Or looking at what? Oh, yeah. Well, you can look at your own wife, no problem. That's not an issue. You can look at her anywhere you want to look at her. But if you go to look at another woman, then you can't. If you make a habit of looking at women in the wrong place, the bottom, top, and wherever, if you look at them in the wrong place, eventually, it won't happen quickly or suddenly, but it will happen, and eventually you will begin to start coming down with prostate numbers that don't work. And then they will want to give you chemo or radiation. And let me tell you something, men. Most men never know this, and I've dealt with a lot of men with prostate problems. They never tell you that the minute they start doing the treatments, your sex life is over. It don't work no more. You're going to be without sex the rest of your life. People don't understand that. God made the man and woman that are married to where they can have sex as long as they live. Abraham was having children at 175. So you just don't think you can't have sex when you're 175. Or whenever you're 75 or 80 or 90, people say, that's too old, you can't have sex. That's not true. That is not true. But if you've gone through a chemo treatment or a radiation treatment or any of those treatments they start giving you for prostate problems, if you start those treatments, your sex life is over. You're now impotent, and you will remain that way forever unless God does something for you. Most doctors don't tell their patients that until the guy can't go there no more. And then he asks, why, doctor, what happened? I can't have sex with my wife no more. He said, well, we're doing these treatments. And so it don't work no more. Most people don't tell you that. But let me tell you, I'll tell you that, because if you don't ever want to have sex again, go to the doctor and let the doctor fix you up, you know, and give you some chemo treatments and work on your chemo. But if you want to have sex again, you better not go to a doctor. If you go to a doctor and they start giving you treatments, I guarantee your sex life is over. I had a 70-year-old man that came to me, and he told me the problems he was having, and I told him, I said, well, that's normal. You went to the doctor, you've had the treatments, and so I said, you're not going to be able to have sex no more. So anyway, as we talked about it, he said, well, I'm going to stand on God's word. I said, okay. And so I said, if you will, we'll pray for you, and then I guarantee everything will work. So we went, because of these great and precious promises that God made us so we can become partakers of the divine nature of God, as we started praying and standing on it, his count came down. The doctor that he was going to couldn't believe that his count went down to what it went down to. He said, I don't know what happened. Let me tell you, when you and me start praying for each other, if I'm strong in faith and you're strong in faith, what is impossible with God?
Nothing.
Are his promises yes and amen?
Yes.
So what's the problem? Nothing. We don't believe. So anyway, we go through this, and we get his number down to, it's some astronomically low number. The doctor is so far off scale. It's good. The doctor said where it used to be and where it is now is so far apart. It said, I just can't believe this really happened. Something must be wrong with our machine. No, the problem is not the machine, it's God. God is answering a prayer that you are praying as a man of God. So we prayed and prayed, and we got that count down to really, really low and everything. And then he come to me one day and said, well, he called me and he said, I just come back from the doctor's office. And he said, my count is so fantastically low. The doctor says this can't be. He don't know why it's done this, said it can't come down and stay down. So he wants me to start chemo and radiation. That's exactly what I told him too, Miss Jackie. No, 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 no. I said, and I want you to know. I said, are you still able to have sex with your wife? And he said, yes. I said, well, if you start those treatments, you won't be able to. Your sex life's over. He said, Thurman, surely not. I said, yeah, I'm telling you, it's over. It's over. Okay. So I hung up the phone thinking I got through to him. About a month later, he called me and said, well, you were right. I said, what do you mean? He said, the doctor, he told me that day when I started to leave his office, he don't know why the count has gone down so low, but it's impossible for my count to actually be that low and stay that low. So he wanted to give me chemo just to make sure. So he said, I finally agreed, and we started the chemo treatment. And I said, your sex life went away, didn't it? He said, yes, it did. What do you have to do? What do you have to tell a human being? What is wrong with us? When we are with a man that has faith, me, and he had faith, him, and we prayed, when we prayed that his count would go down to a low number, and it goes down even lower than we asked for, I'm jumping up and down and praising God for answering my prayer. Because I believe totally that's what happened. But he couldn't quite go there with me. Now, he has quite a bit of knowledge of the word, but he just couldn't go there with me. And so he went and had the treatments, chemo, radiation, whatever it was, and it really messed him up. Wow. Whereby are given unto us, they're just off-the-wall promises, huh? What does that say there? Exceeding. Is that what your Bible says?
Yes.
It's given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises we might be partakers of the divine nature of God. Do you think God has prostate problems? I don't think he does either. So if God don't have it, why should I have it? Are we just like him?
Yes.
We're supposed to be. And because of these great and precious promises, just like Kim and Scott was talking about there a while ago, when this couple right here, just like all the other couples in this building, whether you're two males or man or woman or whatever, when the two of you start walking in purity and holiness before God, and the two of you get around the kitchen table or anywhere else and pray for somebody, your children,
yep,
each other, or your next door neighbor, or anything else, you know,
I mean, he blesses your socks off, doesn't he? And so instead of being broke, you know, you pray before you go to bed that night, say, now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we're self-employed. We want you to send us all the business we need to really bless us this week. And the next morning, the phone's ringing off the wall.
Oh, absolutely. All day.
Isn't that amazing? We should have no problems as sons and daughters of God. Might be partakers of the divine nature. In other words, to me, that's saying that because of these great and precious promises that I can ask God to do things for me, that I can become just exactly like God as far as His nature. I'm well. I'm healthy. I'm able to walk. I'm able to run and play. I'm healed by His stripes. Yeah. It doesn't make any difference what you see. You might look at me and say, well, you look like you're getting older. I said, I am getting older, but I don't have to be sick.
Right.
You know, so just like Mary, 98.
Wow.
Isn't that something? 98 years old, Jack's mother. Boy, what a girl. I mean, to tell you, when she used to just listen to my teachings. She loved to hear faith. She had been raised in a Baptist church, and she'd never heard faith. Jack had never heard faith, and they come here, they both love to hear faith. And I tell you, I love to teach faith because it's in God's Word, don't you? I love it. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Boy. Okay, the next verse 5.
And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge.
Now, how are you going to gain knowledge and all? How are you going to make all this come to pass? You need to spend some time with God, right? If you spend time with God, this is going to work. Okay, verse 6.
And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness.
Okay, read on.
And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow, okay.
But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins.
You know, I'm telling you there when he's talking about that he has forgotten these things, you're blind and cannot see afar off. We're talking literally about a spiritual blindness. You know, you can be totally blind and still have faith. You can listen to the Word of God. You can read the Word of God. You can be a strong person in faith and not even be able to see. But if you, just like I told my son that time, when we brought my granddaughter home from the hospital after the car wreck, when we brought her home, she was totally blind. She couldn't see a thing. I would go over there and play with her. Of course, somebody had to be with her all the time, so I was with her. She'd go in on the stairs there, and she loved playing on the stairs. I'd sit down at the bottom. She'd climb up those stairs and turn around, sit down on her little bottom and bounce down the carpeted stairs, slide down to the bottom. And, of course, I'd make sure she didn't hurt herself, and then she'd get up. And Tim, he come by there one day when I was playing with her. And when she got to the bottom, she kind of walked over to the edge of the staircase and felt around until she found the staircase. And then she'd get up there and she'd start back up the thing again. Tim, he closed his eyes. He said, Dad, I can't even imagine if I could never open them again. I said, Son, we have an awesome God. There ain't nothing impossible with Him. And I guarantee you she's not going to be blind all her life. I'm going to pray for her. I'm going to stand on God's word until she can see. Now, do we have the promises to do that with?
Yes.
So I stood on those promises. I watched her over a period of time. I took her up here to the Baptist church. That Sunday, we had the first Sunday of the brand new Baptist church. There was probably 400 people in the service that day. We didn't even have a pastor. Our pastor had gone on somewhere else. So we had a young man that was filling in for the pastor. He was just a young youth leader. So I told him, I said, after church is over today, I said, I'm going to ask any of you that would believe that God will open my granddaughter's eyes, that he will do it, I want you to stay and pray with me. I said, if you don't believe he will, I don't want you to stay. I only want people of faith. Is that a good place to be, people of faith?
Yes.
So anyway, I said, if you believe he will do it, then stay and pray with me for my granddaughter's eyes to be opened. Well, that afternoon, whenever everybody left, we had about 40 people left out of the 400. 40 people left, and there was probably 10 of those people I had brought myself from somewhere else that were people of faith. I wanted some people of faith. So I brought all the faith people that I knew. This has been 15 years ago. We got there, and they moved all the chairs out of the sanctuary, and we got in a big circle, 40 of us, got in a big circle in that big building. And Caitlin walked out in the middle of that, and every once in a while she'd hear me when I was praying. She'd walk up, she could hear me. So she'd walk up to me and put her hand on my shoulder and just stand there. She's a little bitty girl, about this tall, 4 years old. We prayed for 2 hours. After 2 hours, I said, folks, I believe we have prayed through. I said, let's go home and just praise and thank the Lord that her eyes are open, she can see. Now, do we have all these precious promises?
Yes.
Are these promises ours?
Yes.
Are they always yes and amen?
Yes.
So what should we do then until the manifestation? Just praise him.
Praise
just him. Praise him and thank him for his promises. So about a few weeks later, I was up in the upstairs playing with her there one day, and we had some of those little balls there, that little donut and rings and stands and so forth. And while she's sitting there on the floor, I'd done something, and this little donut rolled over here and turned over here, and she just reached over and got it and put it right on the stand. And when I saw that, I said, she had to see to do that. I said, Caitlin, honey, I reached over and took that stand, that red donut off of that little white stand. I picked it up, and I said, find the red donut that Granddad just laid down and put it back on the stand. She reached right over there and went, whoosh, and put it right on the stand. And, of course, Granddaddy went crazy. And I started jumping and jumping up and down because her eyes, according to the doctor, her eyes were disconnected from her brain. There is absolutely no doctor in the world, I was told this several times, no doctor in the world that can put those eyes back together. She will never see again. Impossible. Cannot see. Never. Forget it, Thurman. You're crazy. You'll never. Your God ain't big enough to put her back together. Let me tell you, I don't know about your God. But, you know, I was just thinking a while ago when I was listening to Peggy and Roy, they were talking about how they watched Trump over in Saudi Arabia and how he's speaking to all these nations and how he mentioned the name of God several times. I thought, you know, yesterday I was in 1 Kings 18, and we had a deal just like that. Elijah. You know, I bet you him and Trump must have been just about alike. He didn't go quite as far as though, because they said it would be wonderful if Trump could have done something like this. Said, you know, there's only one God. I'm talking about God, but folks, there's only one, and he's our God. He's Jesus Christ. He is the one and only God. In fact, Elijah says, I'm going to prove to you that this is true. He said, now, y'all get your sacrifice together. And you put your stuff on it, all your sacrifice, your bulls and calves and all that stuff, and build your altar, and then call on your God. And the one that consumes the sacrifice by fire, to him be God.
That's right. Amen.
So they said, okay. So, I mean, they built their altar, and they did all that stuff, and they start hollering and jumping up and down and screaming. And he's over there saying, maybe he's gone to the bathroom. Talk a little louder. So they're getting all upset, and they're hollering. He said, no, holler. He's on vacation. Your God's not there. So all day long, they cut themselves and do all kinds of stuff. Then he says, I've had enough of this nonsense. He said, let me show you who God is. Let me put my sacrifice out there. Let me put water around it. Let me do everything. Then he said, God, your God, now consume that sacrifice. And boy, fire fell from heaven. Don't you imagine that shook the socks off of them when that fire fell from heaven? We keep on praying for Trump. Maybe he'll get that power enough one day where he'll do the same thing to all these others. Maybe he'll go and say, now, folks, this is the God of America. Now, Obama was wrong when he said that we're not a Christian nation anymore. We're still a Christian nation, and this is our God. He can open the blind eyes. He can open the wall. He can do anything. And when I saw him open Caitlin's eyes that day, I'm telling you, I knew he could do it. I just didn't know when he was going to do it. But I know he will, and he has, and he's going to, and he did. And today she rides her horse and does all kinds of stuff. And I got tickled yesterday. We went out to put some feed back there. And Cheryl said, uh-oh, Flicka, that's her girl, her horse's name. She's in the lot, locked up. And so she called her and said, what's Flicka in the lot for? She said, oh, I give her a bath. I come down there and give her a bath. Cheryl said, well, do you want me to turn her out? And she said, yes, Grandma. I don't want to come down there. You go ahead and turn her out. I thought, you know, she's getting a little lazy. She did. No, Lord, forgive me for making that statement. Yeah, she just wanted Grandma to do it for her. Yeah, that's for sure. And, of course, Grandma does. Because of these great and precious promises, what can we do? But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. You know, when you see a Christian, that think of the Christians that are in church today, that'll go home today that absolutely will not see a miracle or a healing in their entire life. Do you know that's most of them? So what's wrong? We don't know what this book says, ladies and gentlemen. If you know what this book says, you will step out in faith and pray for people. I got tickled at Candace. She was telling me a while ago before church how she stepped out and prayed for a woman that was going to be a speaker, and the woman was having trouble with her voice, and she couldn't speak. But Candace says, can I pray for you? Now, isn't that amazing? Now then, it hadn't been many years ago, she probably wouldn't even have asked that question. But she's seen things happen out here. So her and Cliff, her husband, they don't mind praying for people now, because when they pray, guess what they see? They get to see God do things. Now, if you don't pray, you don't see nothing, do you? But boy, when you pray, there ain't nothing impossible, is there? Wow. Isn't that something? What do we need? We need more knowledge of God's Word. We need to know who we are in Christ. You know, I'm a son of God. I don't know about the rest of y'all. My God's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the God of Gods. He can answer. He can answer my prayer. He can heal the sick. He can do anything. He can deliver you. He can do any. He's God, folks. I mean, he is God. And if you need something, if you learn how to stand on his promises, I guarantee if you repent of sin and you'll stand on his word, he will answer your prayer. He will meet your need. He will heal your body. All those things are his, and they belong to him, and he wants to give them to us. I mean to tell you, he's a great and mighty God. Wow. Let's go to the next verse, and we'll quit here pretty quick.
Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall.
Wow. Just think, if we do the things he told us to do, how often are we going to fall?
Never.
Never. We are never going to fall. We're never going to be beat down. We're going to be the winners. Read on a little further. Verse 11.
For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Wow. Do you want to have that everlasting entrance?
Amen.
You want the King to say, well done, son. Well done, daughter. Come in. Is that what you want to hear? Wow, that's what I want to hear. Praise God. This week, I challenge each one of you to read the Word. For sure, read Psalm 91 every day. Read Psalm 91. And then let that soak into you, what it's saying to you, who you are, what he promised. I mean, he promises to take care of you, doesn't he, Franz? All we got to do is just make him our Lord and our God, and he'll do it. We know he will. He answers prayer. He's a mighty God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you for this day. We thank you and praise you for these folks. Thank you for showing us these principles of the kingdom and how it works. We're so grateful. You're such a mighty God, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord. I thank you for all the answers to prayer you've given for all of us here and all the different things we've prayed for and the answers you've given us. We are so grateful, so grateful that you are the King of kings. We're so grateful for Caitlin's little eyes and everything, oh Lord, everybody, not just her, but all of them, because they're all precious to somebody. And so, Lord, thank you for being our God and doing these great and wonderful things. And we give you praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.